From the Columbus Dispatch, a beat reporter, the Jackets, Aaron Portsline. Joins us, Mr. Portsline. How are you?
Very good, Jason. How are you?
I am great. Busy time of the year, man. Lots happening. And
yeah,
Germany's kicking ass at the World Cup, so I'm good. It's great. Nikita, I look at his numbers, I look at his goals, I look at his advanced stats, possession, everything. It says he's a third-pairing guy with four pretty good defensemen ahead of him. When I look at Edmonton, I don't see a Fetter Toot, and I don't see a Ryan Murray. I don't see a Jack Johnson. I don't see a Wisniewski. Do you think he could be a second-pairing guy for a few years?
Yes. Let me put it this way. At times.
Okay.
And that's been the issue with him. There are times where he looks like a really, really, really capable defenseman with a little bit of spark there, with a little bit of offensive maybe spark that you weren't expecting. Pretty good one-timer, surprisingly good one-timer. He really snaps it where that's almost a dying art. And a lot of guys swing and miss. They set it up like a golf ball before they tee up on it. But Nikitin's got a surprisingly good one-timer.
Okay.
It's the idea of him doing it every night. He goes through. He's gotten off to slow starts the last couple of years and finished fairly strong. Wasn't good at all in the Olympics. You remember a couple of those highlight goals where he got just absolutely blown past like a fence post on the highway. But he's a positional guy. You want him to be more physical than he is. But I like the guy, and I like his – this game. There are times where I really like him and times when you don't notice him, and then times, especially it seems like early in seasons, when you really notice him for all the wrong reasons.
Aaron, you look at he's 28 years of age. Like he still doesn't have a ton of NHL experience, hasn't played that magical 300 game mark. So if the Oilers do sign him, is there the potential growth aspect still has to be part of it, I would think?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And, he may be one of those guys that's better in the low 20s than he is in the high teens that gets into more of a rhythm. I think he's that kind of defenseman, or sort of a read defenseman where, again, it's the gap is key for him. And if he doesn't keep the right gap, he gets into trouble. But he's got long reach. He's got a big frame. He gets in the way a lot. So there's that. But, his time got cut into here by Ryan Murray, by David Savard. Those two guys really made a push last year. Murray found a partner with James Wisniewski, who Nikitin played with the year before. And Nikitin did a fine job at times with Wisniewski. If you remember, that team almost made the playoff.
Yeah.
But with this year, his minutes went down because Murray and Savard just, by their play, kept asking for more.
Yeah, and so he didn't, I guess, match the challenge, it's safe to say, right?
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't better. And he certainly doesn't hold the promise of a Ryan Murray, right? And Savard was a revelation, a guy they've been waiting on here for a few years and finally arrived. I don't think they're not making this move. They're not letting Nikitin go because they don't think he can play anymore. They're letting him go because he's going to get top four time and money somewhere. And it's not going to be in Columbus because, they're highly committed financially to Johnson, Toot, and Wisniewski, and they're committed to Dalton Prout, Ryan Murray, David Savard, Tim Erickson as young guys that need, and deserve a shot here. And that's the reason the Keaton's moving on. It's not because they've given up hope that he can be an NHL player. I think they're convinced that he can.
What kind of contract? I saw your tweet about an NHL agent told you he thinks they're looking for major money or a four-year deal. Was that Nikitin's agent?
No, that was not Rick Curran. That was an agent. I was calling around just to ask why would a player sign with Edmonton right now? Why wouldn't you test it on July 1st? And the answer is, well, they're going to throw a ton of money at him. And then to me, the response is, well, they can do that July 1st. And, the issue is we want you now. This is you and I talking. Let's make a deal right now. What is it going to take? And the suggestion, and it wasn't just from that agent, he just said it with the most clarity, was, in his opinion, for a player like Nikitin to sign with the Oilers before free agency, when there's such a dearth of defensemen out there, it's going to take big term probably 4 years, maybe three, and big money for him to say, you know what, I'm not even going to test the market. This is where I'm going to be. And I don't think it was said as a slight. I know people in Edmonton are sensitive, as are people in Columbus. It wasn't said as a slight against Edmonton. More about the situation. Why not test the waters? The waters are 10 days away. Why would you give up that right now when you've got the opportunity to see what's out there?
Aaron Portsline, beat reporter for the Columbus Blue Jackets, joins us. I was trying to look at, and just based on his numbers the last 2 years, he's basically been a third-pairing defenseman. Now, we can argue that maybe he can be a second pair, but he hasn't shown that the last 2 years. I know teams go crazy in free agency. What's a realistic – like, I was trying to look at the guys similar to Nikita Nikitin who are 28 years of old age. There's not many of them who get a long-term deal. Like, do you see a team honestly paying him more than 3 or 4 years?
I personally don't, but it's hard for me to say that without knowing the situation. The other thing that I'll say is that, you know, an individual defenseman may be labeled second pair or third pair, but so much of this is who they're playing with. I mean, James Wisniewski struggles defensively, suggesting he should be a third-pairing defenseman, but when you put him with Ryan Murray, somehow it works. Jack Johnson and James Wisniewski, I'm just telling you the Columbus situation, they can't play together. Those two guys cannot play together. But if you put Tootin with Jack Johnson, you got a pretty good pair. It's all on how things fit. If they found the right partner for Nikitin, a skating, puck-carrying defenseman, then I think Nikitin very well could play a top-four role. If he's paired with a player like that, if he's slogging along with another lumbering-type defenseman, and then they're going to struggle in their own zone. And I don't, you know, it doesn't matter how you label them. I think so much is about the guy that you're with. And I'm not certain who he would play with. And Edmonton is presently comprised. I think that situation is going to change a lot here probably in the next 2 weeks. But I don't think it's out of the question that he could be a top four. He really was in Columbus for a year and a half after they got him from the Blues, and they were pleasantly surprised and delighted with him. It's just that the depth chart here has changed, and there's a push coming from within the organization.
What are you hearing on R.J. Umberger?
Well, I know this. This is impacting pretty much everything that they want to do here in the next 10 days. Like, maybe they're going to be aggressive in free agency, but they're not if they don't figure out what to do with Umberger. And there's a chance that they buy him out, and if they do, it's very tempting to do it on June 30th rather than to wait into the summer, because it can't be a compliance buyout after June 30th. So there's a bit of a gamble here. Like, if they hold on to him and they can trade him, then they got away with it. If they hold on to him and they can't trade him, then not only do they have to pay him 1.5 for the next six, but it now counts against the cap. So Jarmo Kekalainen and the GM's got some tough decisions to make here.
Would ownership agree to buying him out?
Yeah, I think they would. I mean, I think John Davidson's word right now is gold. And I think the way the situation in Columbus works is that John McConnell is the majority owner, yes. But I think John Davidson was hired to come in here and run this thing. And if John Davidson says this is the right thing to do, I think ownership smiles, pats him on the back, shakes his hand, and says, where do I sign?
Aaron Portsline, beat reporter for the Columbus Blue Jackets. You look at R.J. Umberger, and is he grossly overpaid, Aaron? Is this guy a legitimate NHLer who's just well below his contract level, or is his foot speed a big issue for him to be a consistent producer now?
Yeah, well, his foot speed has always been a concern. He's not getting faster. I think he's a very serviceable player. I think he's a guy that can get you 20 goals and somewhere between 40 and 50 points, decent power play guy. I think, you know, where he ends up to me, if they're able to move him, is to a team that thinks that they need to be more rugged, more physical, score more ugly, dirty goals in deep. And that's what Umberger has become at this point in his career. Led the Blue Jackets in power play goals last year, and that was not skill alone. I mean, that is a certain skill, but this isn't him dangling and sniping. This is him taking a beating down low and scoring off rebounds, redirections, those sort of things. There's a lot of playoff teams, San Jose jumps to mind, Pittsburgh jumps to mind, who feel like they need something. They need some element that's missing to get over the hump. Maybe they need to be tougher. They need to be more competitive. Umberger is not skating away from people. He's not getting faster. He's not getting better, but he is what he is, and there's a lot of teams that could use that.
Aaron, what other young Blue Jacket players do you feel are ready to step in this year? Do they have any guys coming up through the minors or draft picks that they think for sure are going to make the squad?
Yeah, well, they're really excited about Alexander Wennberg, their top pick last year. They think he's got a chance. I think those days of them putting those guys right in are over. So I think he's still a long shot. But there's, you know, they have other guys in there as well. Kirby Reichel, Warren Reichel's kid, has had a stellar junior career and is now he's going to turn pro. Does he make the Blue Jackets out of camp or does he go to the AHL? I think the AHL is probably a safe bet, but I wouldn't be surprised to see either of those guys in Columbus at some point this season. And then there's other guys. Oliver Bjorkstrand had a huge year in the WHL. Marco Dano, another first-round pick from last year, is a guy that they're really excited about. Josh Anderson played the Memorial Cup this year. Big power forward, rugged type. And a name that you're familiar with there in Alberta, certainly, Tim Erickson.
Yeah.
Has been on the cusp for a long time now, especially with Nikitin leaving town, with Nick Schultz moving on, not being re-signed. Erickson's path now to being the six or the seven in Columbus opens up like it has not before. So,
Aaron, always great to talk to you. Quickly, what do you think the Blue Jackets at? I know we always hear best player available. It's kind of boring. Is there a significant area of weakness in the organization as far as depth goes, center, defense, wingers? Do they need someone in the draft?
Best player available.
No.
No, you know what? I mean, it's 16. It's so hard. They're not going to draft based on the depth chart. You know, they haven't even brought guys to town just because they think it's so murky at that point of the first round in this year's draft. They'll talk to some more guys in Philadelphia for clarity, but it's all the best player. At 16, I can't imagine that they're thinking depth chart. If all things being equal, perhaps they take a defenseman because they went so heavy on forwards last year, but I really can't see that entering into the decision-making.
Aaron, always great to talk to you, man. Enjoy the next week.
Yeah, my pleasure.